Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Imagine nearby that crackling fire. Visualize that beautiful warm fire. For some it may be on a campground. For some it may be in a fireplace. For my friends here in the Midwest United States, it's a campfire, I'll bet. And for my friends on the Southern Hemisphere, I bet it's a fireplace in the cold of winter. Hi, and welcome to Spark. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and I'm coming to you in this segment away from a computer. So I won't be giving you a number to call. I don't have access to my switchboard at the moment. So hopefully you have had an absolutely amazing and awesome week. Looking back, if you listen regularly, last week we focused on Sparks for Success and some concepts around failing forward, power versus force, lots of good ideas about perspective and choice. So hopefully you took one action on something that you heard, visited a website, changed a thought process. And if you didn't listen last week, the good news is the shows on Blog Talk are archived and are available in MP3 for downloads or listening on your computer. So check out last week and check out any of the segments from the last 2.5 years of Blog Talk Radio on a variety of topics. It is my pleasure to be with you, and I'm grateful that you have chosen to jump to our segments and find out more. Tonight, sparks of potpourri of resources. I'm excited that I'm going to be bringing you Lynette Patterson and her new program, Unlock Your Metabolism. She's definitely committed to August. We're just nailing the dates, so that's very exciting. I want to share her work with you. I am very honored to be, I was asked to provide a resource tool for her No Excuses Zone. And so several segments of Spark broadcasts were put together to help people with their positive language and with being a zebra, how to choose your stress, which also impacts your metabolism and your health. So you can learn more about Lynette's program if you want to find out before we have her on Spark. You can go to unlockyourmetabolism.com. That's UNLOCK, unlock, YOUR, your metabolism. METABOLISM.com. Metabolism. And I'm excited for my package to arrive. I have Dr. Lisa Van Allen. Is a client of Lynette's who experienced amazing results. Dr. Lisa's my coach and has been my guest here on Spark as well. And I know that she'll be coming back again this fall. I'm also excited to book Sharon Bowman with her new book coming out about brain strategies for training. So many exciting things are coming. And what are we focusing on in our lives? Are we focusing on the wonderful, positive things? Are we focusing on the problems? Exchanged an email today with a friend of mine, and he was sharing how excited he was to be on a road of discovery and growth, learning about the quantum field, the law of attraction, Wayne Dyer's Secrets of the Power of Intention, the Seven Faces of Intention, Dr. Bruce Lipton's Biology of Belief, all of these things and more he's discovered in the last year, and is so excited to be on the path, the journey that he is on. And he commented that he realized that having these MP3s and CDs and books help him to stay focused on applying what he's learning. And my response was that it's hard, or how did I say, oh yeah, it's not easy. That's the power of language, choosing high energy words. It's not easy to stay focused on what we want, on positive images, on beauty, when so much of the information and the messages that are expressed in the world around us are negative. The news is negative. People's conversational language tends to be more negative. And so to try to maintain that positive perspective and positive focus is a challenge. And he hadn't thought of that. And so there is definitely value in what do you do every day to keep your focus on what you want. Seth Godin, who wrote books like Linchpin, was one of his most recent works. And I believe Purple Cow was one of them as well. Seth is an amazing marketer and speaker, and he had a blog post recently that talked about how people respond with a greeting, and that maybe we should shift our question that we ask. Instead of saying, how are you, which for most people, then we focus on the now, which is likely, in terms of the conversation, not what we want. Maybe a better question has to do with what exciting projects, what exciting ideas are we working on? Because then we're focused on the future. We're focused on the positive. We're focused on what we want. And that's a positive. So, you know, when people ask you how things are going, and, you know, people don't want to lie, so what are you going to say? Are you going to say, you know, well, things are great, when you really don't believe they're great? My regular listeners will recognize when I talk about The Power of Words by Yvonne Oswald, choosing the high energy language, as I mentioned. And David Hawkins talks about that in Power versus Force. The positive words and the positive emotions calibrate at higher levels. And I've been using by Power of Pink Elephants for over 25 years now, the idea of do not think of a pink elephant. Do not imagine a pink elephant. Do not see in your mind a pink elephant. Did you? Probably see a pink elephant, even if it was for a split second before it became purple. Most people see the pink elephant. Why? Because our brains have challenges with not and negation. And how does it visualize not something? Most of us think in visual images. And so how do you see yourself not sitting? Well, often you'll see yourself sitting first and then stand or lie down or some float in the air. So the power of the pink elephant shows you how your mind works around the word not. It skips it. It's like it's a blank. So what your mind processes is do think of a pink elephant. So there's power number one. And in Yvonne's book, was an aha when I read it a year ago or so, that you can also use that principle to your advantage when you're choosing higher energy words. So instead of saying, well, you know, things have slowed down with the economy, da-da-da-da, in answer to the question, how are you? Maybe you could say, well, things are not at their peak right now. Because what message are you giving to your brain, your subconscious, and your reticular activating system in your brain? Well, it's not at its peak right now. Remember, your brain's going to jump the word not, and you're going to get it's at its peak right now. And it's then your subconscious or non-conscious, your reticular activating system in your brain is like radar, and it's going to be looking for things to support that statement. Opportunities, people, resources that otherwise may not have registered at a conscious level for you. So think about using not strategically to your advantage. And rather than saying, well, that's too hard, maybe you could say, well, that's not easy yet. working on that with my 9-year-old when he wants to say that's too hard. Two things. We remind him that 2 times 2 was hard till he knew it, and he knows it now. And so rather than saying that, we can choose things like it's not easy yet. It'll be easy after I get some help. Something different than it's too hard. So how are you using your language strategically to support you? So you can check out Seth Godin, and that's S-E-T-H, last name G-O-D-I-N. Check out his blog and actually read his phraseology on that question. Like I said, unfortunately, I don't remember. I just remember the spin was needing to talk about the good things we want and expect in our life rather than only talking about maybe how bad things are right now. Or as I just shared with you, how, well, maybe not great at the moment. Some people say, oh, but that just seems so sneaky. Well, or is it really just, that's really effective? So it's all about choice. And sometimes one of my favorite books is Illusions by Richard Bach. And in that book, he says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. What is it you're ready for? What is it you're focused upon bringing into your life, enjoying more of in your life, celebrating in your life? As this young man that I was corresponding with today commented one other time, that it's interesting because we'd known each other for several years before we really connected at the level, the point at which he was ready to begin exploring in the realm of growth and quantum fields and quantum energy. And one day he just said he'd love to have lunch and talk more about some principles I shared in a seminar, and it's been an amazing journey from there for both of us, in the sense of it's helped me to refocus on some concepts, to learn from him as he's learning from me. I participated in a forum today, an ASPD forum, with Lisa Hanneberg, who's been a guest here on Spark, talking about her book, Hip and Sage, How to Stay Cool in the Workplace. By the way, she has a new book coming out called Cross Generations, Coaching Up and Down the Generations. So I will be inviting Miss Lisa to come talk about that book later this year. Her seminar today was called Catalyzing Coaching Across Generations, Up, Down, and Sideways. And she was talking about the power of multidirectional coaching and learning, that it's not just the sage on the stage, the wise, experienced person who has something to teach or coach the young workers, but it's our younger employees who also have something, and usually it's related to technology, to share with more experienced people. And the value and the power in that multidirectional coaching. And I find that's very true with the clients I work with, that not only do they get value from working with me, I also learn from them, from their strengths. And so who do you have in your life that you could share that can help you with what you want to learn more about, and that people who can, you can share what you know with them? It may or may not be the same person. One never knows. It might be. And, you know, that's why it's okay to have more than one person that you're coaching, teaching, talking with, because different people bring different strengths and different skill sets into their communication with you. And so focus on how can I share what I know with someone else? How can they share what they know with me? And it can be a win-win situation. And it's best when it is. And maybe you can provide support with a colleague at work who needs to know more about an area of expertise you have. Maybe you have a niece or a nephew who can help you get to be more hip using some of the informal learning, social networking tools more effectively. We all have different strengths and skill sets, and when we can build upon our diversity, we strengthen ourselves, our colleagues, our departments, our teams, our companies, our communities, our society, our country, and our world. You know, sometimes we get so hung up on the big things and it has to be huge, we forget that every little action we take can make a positive difference. And that from every lesson we learn, every situation that was not as effective as we would have liked provides us an opportunity to grow, to eliminate something that doesn't work, to improve. So a speaker I heard when I was in my early 20s, which has been a long time ago, and I really should find his name. So, but he said you have a choice in any situation. You can be bitter or better. What are you choosing? Bitter or better? And as Byron Katie says, you can argue with reality and you will lose only 100% of the time because it is what it is. And so rather than getting yourself all worked up into a tizzy, upset, stress, to just say, oh, how fascinating. How fascinating is Ben Zander's response when somebody isn't playing quite right, not as effectively as they could be. So what do? Make a choice. You decide that I can do something differently. I can say when those situations arise, instead of getting angry about the mistake, I can say, how fascinating. Now I know it doesn't work, and I know specifically what we can do better. So, and Ben Zander also shared rule number 6, which came up in a CD series I was listening to last week by Wayne Dyer, The Secrets of the Power of Intention. And he shared rule number 6. And it was observing people coming in and out of meetings and yelling and being upset about something. And the supervisor would just say, remember rule number 6. And they would immediately take a breath, smile, and their whole demeanor changed. They'd apologize if they'd had an outburst or something. And so that happened 3 times in the matter of a few minutes. And after the meeting, the manager asked, would you please share what rule number 6 is? And he said, rule number 6 is don't take yourself so damn seriously. I mean, we can take our work seriously, but sometimes we just take ourselves way too seriously. And then the gentleman asked, well, what are the other rules? And he said, there are no other rules, just rule number 6. So if rule number 6 can help you, wonderful. Maybe that's what you can take away and use this next week, is rule number 6. So any of these ideas and strategies we've talked about can provide you with more joy in the present so that you can truly live the gift that is your present, because that is really all we have, is now. And when you think and focus on the past, the things that have already come and gone, we're not able to change them. They contribute to who you are. You can take lessons from them. Focusing always on tomorrow and the future
what you need to plan for, prepare for, or worry about what may or may not happen. You miss, again, the joy of now. Is there value in the past? Yes. Is there value in planning for the future? Yes. Is there value in worrying? Well, it was Mark Twain who said, you know, most of what I worried about never happened, or something along those lines. So time spent worrying really is less effective. It creates negative effects, the stress on your physical and emotional health, and it also is putting your focus on something you do not want, and we talked about that earlier. You really want to focus on what you do want. Put your thoughts and your energy on what you do want more of in your life. And sometimes it starts with, well, you don't want more stress in your morning routine. So what do you want? More peace. So if you focus on, I can choose peace rather than this. I also learned that from something else Wayne Dyer wrote or was a recording. I can choose peace rather than this. And I usually accompany it with a deep breath and do indeed choose peace. And when I focus on being in peace, then I'm more calm, and that works better in my communication with my 9-year-old. Then when I get stressed and my blood pressure goes up and I get snappy and he's upset and I'm upset, and oh boy, what a way to start a day. So being in intense emotion short circuits our ability to be rational. And when we're stressed, we hold our breath, which deprives our brain of oxygen, which complicates the situation. So when you find you're getting emotionally intense, it's good to pause and take a deep breath or two. Remind yourself that you can choose peace rather than this. Remind yourself that I intend to feel joyful, to feel good, to enjoy my present. Because how do you give away something you don't have? How can you bring joy to other people if you're not feeling joy yourself? Now, when I share this, does it mean that all my mornings are joyful? Oh my gosh, no. I remind myself these things on a regular basis because, you know, I'm a mom. I've got a child, and he can challenge me just like most kids can. We go for the majority of the time, and teaching him that he can choose his response to things too, that he can choose to be sad. Then sometimes it's okay to be sad, and he can choose how long he wants to be sad. Or if he's angry about something because he didn't get to do something that we were hoping to do as a family, well, I'm angry at you, Mom and Dad. It's like, well, okay, let us know when you're done being angry. And then we'll go do something fun. So it can be as long or as short as you'd like. So the question then, again, is, what kind of now would you like to experience? Would you like to feel? Did you enjoy spending more time in positive emotion, with positive energy, in joy and love and peace? Stephen's song, oh, the name just went out of my head. Oh, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. Because if it starts with you, and think about what you're spreading, it's like tossing a stone into a pond or a pool. And from the point at which that hits the water, there are ripples that go out. And the question is, are you sending out gentle ripples that are rocking a boat? Or are you throwing boulders that are causing the boats to capsize? What's the difference, you might ask? Well, when you are focused on peace, on positive energy, on being joyful, on positive interactions with the people that you meet, having positive expectations for what's going on in your life, that's the energy that you send out to people around you. You know, do people look forward to talking to you, even if it's about a problem? And maybe that's not your goal. Try it, though, and see what happens if you decide that today, in my communication with people, I'm going to focus on harmony, mutual success, and see what happens. See what happens to your team. See what happens in your relationships. Several weeks ago, I talked about Al Ritter's book, The 100-0 Principle. If you take 100% responsibility for your relationships and allow and expect nothing in return, that's the 100-0. And notice what happens. Other people will often assume a 100-0 principle concept with a relationship. Not always. And that's not the expectation. The expectation is you are going to take on 100% of the responsibility for your communication or your relationship. And, you know, we have relationships in our life that come and go. We have people who are there for a short time. We have people who are there for a long time. And maybe some people that you are in relationship with are really only there for that short time. That there's a lesson to learn from that relationship, and you can choose to walk away. And I know that's sometimes easier said than done, that we are unable to walk away from that relationship. We feel obligated to save that person. We feel obligated to help that person because we're taught, many of us, that it's the right thing to do. And sometimes the best thing in a relationship is to walk away from that relationship because it's really not helpful for the other person, and it's taking a lot of your energy and your health, and you need to assess that for yourself because, again, you have a limited amount of time. And where are you spending your time in thought, in verbal communication, with social media? Are you investing your time in improving people's lives? Are you investing your time in learning and growing and moving yourself in a positive direction, in building relationships? Or is your time more spent complaining about how terrible things are, how unfair life is, how unfair they are at work, and it's like the book Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It's all in how you choose to look at it. And I invite you in the week ahead to make a positive choice in how you choose to frame the situations of your life. To make a positive choice in the actions that you take, even very small actions. And if you find that you're feeling stressed or negative emotions, then consider doing something kind for someone else. Do it anonymously even. Pay the toll for someone behind you. Let someone in line in front of you who maybe has less to purchase than you do or maybe has kids with them who are fussy. Why? Because they'll feel better. And watch how you feel as well. Do something kind. Let another family member choose what to watch on TV. Or turn off the television and have a conversation, play a game, go for a walk, go for a bike ride together. Remember, our kids learn from what we do. The mirror neurons in the brain are very powerful. They learn from how we act, the tone of our voice, what's acceptable to communicate to one another. So if a child hears one parent criticizing another, it's amazing how soon you begin to hear that child criticizing that parent in a similar tone and or with the similar words that they heard. So guard your words, both with yourself and with the people around you. And if you make good choices, you model good choices, that's what your children will learn. And again, every day, every hour, every minute is an opportunity to choose again and choose again. And to talk about when you realize it was not a really good choice, have a conversation about what you learned. Making good choices about the nutrition you feed your body, the nutrition you feed your brain, the information you learn, the activities, the community service, all of those things are models for your kids, whether they're your biological children, whether they're children in a classroom, nieces, nephews, kids in the neighborhood, they all learn from watching you. Even when you're not looking, even when it's just the smallest of phrases. I was honored to work for an educational opportunity program called Upward Bound for nearly 20 years. And that program's committed to providing low-income and or first-generation high school students with the academic and social support to be successful in high school and to succeed in post-secondary education, college. And it was not only what happened in the classrooms during the academic classes, it's equally important what happened in the recreation activities, in the dorms in the evening, just having conversations. All of those things make a positive impact in someone's life. And I recall particularly a young man who, and this is back in the 80s, and teenagers could still smoke here in the United States legally. And we were preparing for, we had inter-program Olympics, we call them, where several of our Upward Bound programs in the state of Iowa would get together and have friendly competition in a number of events like volleyball and basketball and swimming and different, and chess and a quiz bowl, academic bowl, and a lot of those different kinds of events. And one young man was on my volleyball team, and we practiced a couple times a week, and he had come back in the evening during that hour or so before they needed to check into their dorm, and he had a box of, I don't know what brand they were, but they were the cherry cigars or cigarillos. And he walked up to say hi to me, and I took those from him. He said, "What'd you do that for?" He said, "I just spent however much money on those things." And I said, "Yeah." I said, "Number one, I care whether you live or die, and I don't want to be going to your funeral. Number two, you need to have really good lung capacity if you're going to be on my volleyball team." And I thought nothing of that. And so I kind of shrugged his shoulders and gave him a hug goodnight, and off he went. He's probably 15 or 16 years old. At the end of our six-week program, this probably happened in the first or second week, and we have a banquet at the end to celebrate the achievements of the students over our 6 weeks of our summer program. And after this was over, he approached me and said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "I just want you to know how much it meant to me the night you took those cigars from me, because you're the first person who ever told me that it mattered whether or not I lived or died." I got a lump in my throat and tears in my eyes and gave him a hug and said, "It does matter to me whether you live or die." And choked up now even thinking of the story. And so we never know when something that we say in passing can make a huge impact in someone's life. So I invite you to think about you choosing your words carefully this week and realizing that what you say to someone else can make a huge difference in their lives. Enjoy your week and have a wonderful time making choices around your now, enjoying the moments of your now, and saying something kind that may help someone else to make a positive choice, to feel better about themselves, and in turn, help someone else. Thanks so much for listening, for being here, for being you, for offering the gifts you have in service to the world. You are amazing, and you have a purpose. May you enjoy great success as you make a positive difference in the lives you touch. We won't have our closing sounder tonight because that's a manual click at Blog Talk Radio. So silence will take us out. I invite you to come back to hear more sparks, those strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge to help you create that positive change in your life. To live your best life, as Oprah says. To make an amazing difference in your life and in the lives of others. Until next time, stay safe. And remember, as Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Thanks for being here. Look forward to seeing or hearing you again.